Hello, welcome. This is Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. You are watching a very interesting show because today is supposed to be the end of the MCO, but it seems like it's not supposed to be the end because we haven't cleared some of the indicators of phase one. Jadi isu dia sekarang adalah tentang apa implikasinya terhadap rakyat biasa apabila PKP dilanjutkan, fasa pertama National Recovery Plan masih diteruskan. Jadi untuk merungkaikan isu ini, saya ada dua tetamu khas pada this evening in this show. Muhammad Faisal Abdul Aziz, Presiden ABIM ataupun Angkatan Belia Islam Malaysia, dan juga Nathaniel Tan, Koordinator kepada Projek Wawasan Rakyat. How are you, gentlemen?
Great, thanks boss.
Okay, kita mulakan dengan you. Faisal sebagai Presiden ABIM. Apakah isu yang mungkin Faisal dapat ketahui susulan kenyataan Perdana Menteri tadi?
Mungkin kalau tanya pandangan kami lah, susulan daripada pengumuman daripada Perdana Menteri untuk menyambung MCO. Benda paling utama ialah forest the plan ataupun plan pemulihan negara tu need to be reviewed back. Sebab bagi kami from NGO side, plan pemulihan negara itu lebih kepada pengulangan. Dia macam keep recurring apa yang the past failure. Jadi harus ada satu revision, dan juga revision itu perlu melibatkan data, perlu melibatkan kajian, termasuk melibatkan semua pihak. Kalau tidak, kita khawatir ia akan menyambung kegagalan yang lalu. Sebab kalau kita lihat MCO yang diumumkan, rakyat expect MCO ini ialah MCO yang macam MCO fasa pertama. Tetapi hari ini kita melihat MCO macam MCO yang bukan MCO dan angka masih lagi kurang 4,000. Jadi kita risau bila Perdana Menteri mengumumkan sambungan MCO tanpa tarikh cut off date bila akan berakhir, maka kemungkinan besar akan terus bersambung dan kita takut akan menghadapi kegagalan, mengulangi kegagalan yang lalu.
Nat, what do you think, Nat?
Yeah, I feel like we seem to be trapped in this cycles of hell, right? You know, you talk about National Recovery Plan. I think a lot of Malaysians are asking, do we even have a national recovery plan? I mean, what is this talking? It's like a national indicator plan. It's not a plan about how are we going to get out of this. I think the sense on the ground is that Malaysians are feeling increasingly angry. They're feeling desperate and despair, hopeless and helpless. I mean, look at the suicide rates, these new suicides that we're coming across. It's hard to overstate, you know, what this shows about how desperate we are. And I feel like the government authorities are acting like, you know, they're with their head in the ground. You know, it's like this, there's no war in Ba Sing Se kind of attitude. You know, simply put, without the right values and principles at the fore of at the leadership, you know, where there is no recovery plan is ever going to work. If I had only one sentence to summarize it, I would say that we failed to beat COVID because our politicians are too busy trying to beat each other. You know, their minds are so filled with this question of who is going to be the next PM that there's no space at all to think about how to stop Malaysians from literally killing themselves. They either don't have enough guts or enough brains. And honestly, it amounts to the same thing. You know, we've been looking too long to our politicians to get us out of this mess. And honestly, it's time to look to ourselves instead of to lead us out of this.
Okay. Jadi soalan yang harus dipertanyakan adalah tentang isu implikasi terhadap kesihatan mental, implikasi terhadap harmoni sosial. Seperti mana Nathaniel sebutkan tadi, yes, it's true. It's not just about the suicide rates because suicide is rather, you know, bombastic. It's always reported, yeah. But para suicide, it normally is, you know, swept under the carpet. Cases that are increasing at psychiatric wards, it's normally not reported, you know. So the issue here is mental health issues are rising. I hope we have reached out to the Minister of Health and getting the psychiatric service head over to Eswarwani. But, you know, even then, KKM is dragging their feet. So it's very frustrating for us to get a true and fair picture about what is happening right now. Faisal, soalan yang seterusnya saya nak tanyakan adalah, apakah pandangan Faisal terhadap implikasi kesihatan mental terhadap rakyat jelata dan juga hubungan sosial di antara satu sama lain? It's not just about being separated and being lonely, it's also being alone. Rasa seorang-seorang, dan ini isu dia sekarang. What do you think of this issue, Faisal?
Okay, actually ABIM, we initiated the Talian Rahmah project start from last year. Mungkin kalau saya nak kongsi ada statistik from the Talian Rahmah from the last year. More than 50% mereka yang call, yang mengadu tentang isu ini, ialah below 29 years old. Maksudnya mereka ni rata-ratanya orang muda yang umur 30 tahun ke bawah. Mungkin sebab Abim, itu juga mungkin faktor lah sebab Abim ni orang muda, jadi orang muda lebih, lebih dekat. Tetapi perkara yang penting untuk kita nyatakan di sini ialah rata-ratanya anak muda yang amat besar tanggungjawab dan amat tertekan disebabkan MCO. Dalam saya sama, if I may share as well, dalam statistik juga disebut bahawa dalam lingkungan 38% mereka yang bekerja dan 39% ialah student. Maksudnya dalam kata-kata lain, ramai dalam kalangan anak muda yang masih lagi belajar dan juga yang yang baru start bekerja mengalami masalah mental ataupun stress. Dan actually from what Nat said, sebab dia buat suicide rate tapi attempting suicide. Kalau kita, kalau kita campur semua suicide rate dan dengan attempting suicide, so kita akan nampak jumlah yang besar tentang isu kesihatan mental yang sebenarnya macam kita tahu now we have been more than 15 months of MCO dan kerajaan tidak boleh dengan mudah mengumumkan MCO tambah, MCO tambah without any concrete plan when to stop the MCO. Sebab isunya isu ekonomi dan juga yang paling penting isu mental health. Mungkin kalau ekonomi kerajaan boleh bagi bantuan, tapi kalau isu mental health, apa bantuan yang boleh kerajaan bagi kalau MCO ni terus prolong until next year kan?
Betul. Nat, what do you think?
So, suicide is a very personal thing, you know. It's a very, mental health is all very deeply individual things, but I think it really reflects the bigger picture in the country at the moment. You know, it reflects a very deep sense of desperation and despair, and people are not talking, but the authorities are not talking about it. You know, you talked about data, right, and the situation on the ground, and we've had a real problem with that as well, transparency. You know, this culture of silence, like, you know, frontliners are not allowed to talk about, you know, the kind of challenges they are facing, about how overworked they are. You know, back then we were like, you know, 1,000, 2,000 cases in our health system being overwhelmed. Now we're at 5,000 cases. How do you think the nurses, the doctors are feeling right now? We've got problems with contract doctors and things like that. You know, so there really is, you know, we're just acting like the first thing that we need to do is to be truthful about the situation and to understand like just how bad it is and stop pretending that it's not bad and stop preventing people from speaking out about how bad the situation is. I think we're really not, we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg here as far as the problem is concerned.
Okay, we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss more with Power as well as with Abib. We'll be right back after this message. Okay, thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Nathan Hiltan, coordinator of Power, as well as Faisal Aziz, the president of ABIM. We start off with Nat, maybe. Nat, look, you're right. We shouldn't silence the frustrations of the people. The voice of the people is the most important voice that needs to be heard. My question now is this, Nat. What would be some of the ideas that you are currently working on to ensure that, you know, this is not just going to be a whining kind of a situation? What would be some of the efforts that people like you are doing in helping regular Malaysians to get out of this funk?
Thanks. So the first and most important principle is we're going to stop relying on politicians. You know, we're going to stop complaining about them, we're going to stop whining about them, and we're going to stop, most importantly, we're going to stop waiting for them to solve these problems, right? This is a dead end. It's not going to work. What we're going to do now is we're going to work on solving our own problems. So I'm working with Faisal, great guy, you know, Abim, great organization. He spoke just now about Talian Rahmah, right? They are providing mental health support. This obviously is the kind of thing that should be done by the government, but, you know, we're not going to wait for them to do. We are going to do ourselves, right? You know, I spoke to the economist a long time ago. I asked him, like, you know, what's the important thing about Malaysia's economic future? I thought he was going to say something like, you know, digital transformation, green energy, stuff like that. He said to me, you know, Nat, what we need is trust, you know, and I was a bit taken aback, right? So, you know, I think one of the reasons why we're also having so much trouble, it's because, you know, we're not adopting a whole of society approach. We don't feel like we're in this position where we can battle COVID together. We don't have that kind of social capital. You know, my mother taught me one of the most simplest principles of leadership. Children do as you do, not as you say. So if our leaders are not following SOPs, not doing the correct things, you know, what do you expect? So I think this idea of like building a sense of shared purpose, building a sense of greater unity against COVID and against all the problems that we're facing, this is not something that we need to wait for other people to do. It's something that we can do as civil society from the bottom up. So that's what we're trying to focus on, trying to build that sense of shared purpose, restore hope to Malaysia, you know, and give a sense that we can do something and we have the ability to do something.
Faisal, seperti BIM, sebuah civil society yang dah lama bertapak di Malaysia ni, apakah antara perkara yang BIM dah buat untuk membantu situasi ini, untuk mengekang isu ini jadi semakin keruh?
Baik, okey. Selain daripada talian ramah yang saya sebut tadi, actually BIM memang kita through NGO, dan juga selain daripada kerjasama NGO, power dan sebagainya, kita ada within our own capacity juga untuk memastikan golongan B40 dan juga not only B40 but M40 yang akan slip menjadi B40 untuk dibantu. Dalam masa sama, forest, it is important juga to see bagaimana kita nak pastikan perpaduan yang trust hubungan kaum ini dapat dijayakan menerusi projek Bangsa Malaysia. Maksudnya, isu COVID ini perlu satu nilai Bangsa Malaysia yang bersama-sama saling membantu. Semua orang affected regardless of races or religion. So kita kena bawa mood untuk kita bersatu padu membantu mereka yang sukar. Dan mungkin yang terakhir, yang terkinilah, kita strike the deal dengan Budi Suci, one of the largest NGO, to send equipment kepada government hospitals. Mereka juga overwhelmed, tak cukup bilik mayat pun, tak cukup ventilator apa semua, banyak peralatan tak cukup, shortage of juga doktor pelatih. So apa yang boleh kita buat, sebanyak mungkin engagement, sebanyak mungkin kerjasama yang boleh kita buat dengan semua pihak, ia amat baik untuk membantu rakyat Malaysia.
Ada satu itu, sorry Nat, you want to talk to something?
Yeah, if you don't mind, just a little bit. You know, speaking, there's usually a dichotomy for people who want to help Malaysia, who want to do things and change things in Malaysia. Usually there's either the NGO route, or what I call the POO route, right? Political organizations. So what we're trying to do here at Project Bangsa Malaysia is try to be something new, NBO, Nation Building Organization. You know, if Malaysians are like in a situation where we're all drowning, right? NGOs are like, traditionally, they're like little lifeboats. We all go out one by one trying to, you know, save the little that we can. As political organizations, they're a bit like warships. You know, they're built, their whole primary purpose is to fight one another. They're built for war. Right, so we want to bring all these lifeboats together to build a bigger ship, you know, something with a bigger scope than traditional NGOs, with a nation building ambitions, you know, to give that sense of shared purpose and, you know, to restore, to put us back on the right path and bring us where we need to go.
There are some critical issues that are currently happening in the country. We are at war, make no mistake about that. The enemy is COVID, and the frontliners are the warriors, the soldiers trying to battle it out. But in them duking this out, we are not protecting them, you know, in the right way. Hence the issue of contractual doctors that might or might not go for some sort of mogo, isu hartal, ya, doktor hartal. Jadi isu dia sekarang adalah tanggal 1 Julai mungkin, tanggal ataupun tarikh yang mereka akan hartal. Ini kontrak-kontrak doktor di KKM. And of course, the issue is exacerbated when we talk about there is no surety or there's no assurance that we are giving out to these doctors when they are literally saving lives, saving your lives and mine. And of course, this is coupled with some issues that are coming up from the Ministry of Health. Things like dahulukan Dr. Bumi Putra, seperti mana kita nampak hari Minggu lepas ni. Jadi, you know, it's very difficult to build a Bangsa Malaysia, to build a better Malaysia when it comes to race, religion, trying to protect everyone, not protecting some. These are structural issues that I think that we have to unpack here. What do you think is the best way forward to us dismantling these kind of issues? Mungkin Faizal boleh mulakan dulu?
Okay, first saya setuju dengan Nat. Now it is time for people to step up. What was it, Ronald Reagan, in a crisis, government is the problem. Government is not the solution, but people is the answer. Tapi dalam sesama, we should not let the government untuk goyang kaki. I mean, government have to step up as well. But MCO, for example, yang announced by the government, government should be accountable for. So, bila kita sebut tentang hartal, bila sebut tentang the contract government, I mean, the medical contract, it should be, colorblind. For me, now we are in a crisis. There is no room to, fikirkan tentang warna kulit. sebab hari ini semua orang nak beri sumbangan dan semua orang rasa bertanggungjawab. Dan sebab itu juga sebenarnya disebabkan structure, mungkin structure ataupun birokrasi dan juga political game by politicians yang menyebabkan rakyat frust. Dan sebab itu hari ini selain daripada hashtag kita jaga kita, saya lagi suka dengan hashtag rakyat jaga rakyat. Maksudnya sebab orang dah frust. People now we are trying to help other people tapi stuck with the bureaucracy, with the structure, mungkin political game, mungkin racism whatsoever kan. So we need to go beyond, we need to put the solution ahead on the table, discuss together inclusively.
Ned, this issue of contractual doctors, this is emblematic of a further deepening crisis that is currently facing the nation. A lot of people are excited that the parliament is going to be reopened at the end of August. A lot of people are expecting robust debates to take place, check and balances to be in place. What do you think? Are you sharing that kind of optimism as well?
I mean, I differ a little bit from people here. You know, I think there's no harm in reopening parliament. I think it's probably a step in the right direction. But me personally, I don't see that being the place where we're going to solve our long-term problems. That's for sure. You know, I mean, these things like this, the contract doctor problem and, you know, the race aspect of it. I mean, this is insane. We're talking about the worst war, probably the worst, by far the worst war that Malaysia has faced. You know, we're talking about the welfare of the soldiers on the front lines, risking their lives, working their butts off, right? And now you want to talk about, you know, maybe you should pay them a bit less, maybe you should favor one way or another. When you go to the hospital, there's no what Melayu, what China, what India. It doesn't work that way, right? And come on, I mean, this is an issue of money. I mean, are you serious? You know, I speak to economists, they say, we've got space to borrow some more money. If you need to borrow some more money, if that's the economically responsible thing to do, we spend the money now, X amount now rather than spend X plus 10 million further down the road where the problem gets much worse. You know, it's a question of priorities, right? I mean, there's a time when like Genting was open, you know, the casinos were open in the middle of a pandemic. Why? I mean, you know, so these are example of like policies that are obviously berpaksikan kepentingan politik, berpaksikan tauke, kepentingan tauke, you know, not berpaksikan rakyat. If you are really berpaksikan rakyat, you'll be spending as much money as you can on the hospital, on the doctors, giving them anything they want. Anything they want in this kind of situation, if they fall, the whole thing falls, you know. So, and I think, you know, parliament again is a step forward in that direction, but I think the culture of Malaysian politics is such that the toxicity, the racial toxicity of Malaysian politics from parliament, it seeps down into healthcare at a time like this, and that's just insanity. So, I think we really need new models, new approach, and you know, something that's riot centric, bottom up. Without worrying about these guys at all.
All right, that's the thing. I wanna pin you down on that. So if Parliament is ineffective, in your opinion, what would be the more effective way of, you know, mobilizing assistance for Malaysians? What do you think needs to be done, therefore, if not the Parliament?
You know, I mean, in the short term, of course, you know, kita jaga kita, that kind of sentiment, rakyat jaga rakyat, is definitely alive and well. Faizal mentioned Suci. You know, these guys raised millions. You know, it's an interfaith initiative, right? They brought together Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, Taoists, all together, and they raised millions of ringgit, right, to buy hospital beds and things like that. It's not their job to buy hospital beds. You know, that's the government's job. But this is a sign that, you know, this is a movement, you know, that civil society is picking up the slack, basically. You know, and in the longer term, you know, in the longer term, I mean, you know, this goes into politics a little bit, but if you look at like Harapan in 2018, I feel like it's a government that came together, their all ideas are, oh, let's get rid of Najib. But they didn't have anything beyond that. There's no sense of shared values, no sense of like, you know, really crafting shared policies and ideology, values and principles, right? And we need to build that if we want this whole of society approach. If we want to revamp this, you know, get rid of this toxic political swamp. We need to build that among our people. So, you know, that's what we're doing in this Project Bangsa Malaysia. Look at the website. We started having these conversations, building relationships. You know, not just Melayu, China, India, but, you know, Sabah, Sarawak, Orang Asli. We need to really bring everyone on the table and give them that sense. First of all, make them feel heard. You know, everyone needs to feel like they're part of this Bangsa Malaysia thing. That's why we designed it as something that's inclusive. And once you feel like you're part of something bigger, you know, when you feel heard, you feel like you have a role to play and that there's hope. That is something that there's a banner that we can unite under. I think that the country, what we can achieve is limitless. We'll kick COVID, you know, and we will go much further and beyond and achieve all the things of our true potential as a nation.
Faizal, setuju ke dengan net punya sentiment sekarang?
Yes, but essentially we cannot deny the fact that parliament is very important as well. Parliamentary democracy is indispensable element in democracy. So now we are in the period of darurat, and of course parliament so-called being under question lah, sebab the provision under the constitution, I mean, to convene the parliament still tergantung kan. So we should not let the government to do whatever they want to do without parliamentary responsibility, I mean check and balance, ministerial responsibility. So we need to convene the parliament, and but at the same time itu kewajipan, I mean itu bukanlah aspirasi atau harapan, because saya tak nak cakap rakyat lose hope, tapi rakyat now we together with the campaign of Kita Jaga Kita, Rakyat Jaga Rakyat, so rakyat is the solution. But at the same time, for us, we should not let the government goyang kaki, do whatever they want to do, misuse of power. So we need to have that mechanism that convene the parliament meeting.
Ada satu lagi soalan. Ada beberapa pihak di kalangan masyarakat yang memohon untuk ataupun mendesak kerajaan untuk mengadakan pilihan raya sekiranya selamat untuk melakukan demikian. Faisal setuju atau tidak isu pilihan raya patut diadakan, ataupun are we electing the same people over, it's just in a matter of the different form. In fact, risking people's health and safety because of a general election. Apa pandangan Faisal?
For me, kalau pilihan raya untuk skala kecil, okay, for example by election waktu di Sabah kan, ada satu, I mean not the whole state, tapi mungkin satu by election di satu tempat, when you know Pakatan Harapan, UMNO, Barisan Nasional pledge that they will contest, they want the incumbent to win. If this just for the sake of fulfilling the requirement of the federal constitution, that's okay. Tapi isu yang besar ialah bagaimana government nak pastikan kalau election dibuat, kerancakan politik itu dapat diatasi. Sebab kalau kita tengok di Sabah, the state election ni menyebabkan kerosakan bila mana orang tidak mematuhi SOP, malah orang bawa COVID ke sana and then balik tak ada isu. Jadi ini isu besar bila kita ada election. Saya setuju kalau nak fulfill requirement of the federal constitution, we need to have election. Tapi government sendiri kena ada parameters. Macam mana nak control supaya tidak ada kerancakan pilihan raya, orang boleh cross negeri senang-senang tanpa kuarantin, menteri dan sebagainya tidak melalui proses SOP. Ini kerisauan kita. Kalau government still fail to do that, so government need to mungkin amend the constitution, put some provision kan, exception to for example Sarawak election, certain exception because of the COVID and so on.
Nat, what do you think, Nat?
Thanks. I think the short answer is that elections are not due until 2023, so I think we should delay them as long as possible. The health implications are really terrible. It's really not worth it. It's also not worth it because of the current current scene, right? A lot of this has to do with what we understand democracy to be. Democracy has been, basically diminished to the point where we only think our only democratic agency, our only is one vote every 5 years. That's what democracy means to us. And that's really not what democracy means at all. Democracy has also been diminished to the point where it's really all about fighting. It's oppositional politics. It's always about, it's a zero-sum game. So what we are trying to do, Project Bangsa Malaysia with Faisal, Habib Power, we're looking at democratic revolution to change from oppositional politics to collaborative consensus building. That's what we believe democracy to be. There's no point in having elections to the same people fighting one another all the time. What we need to do is build a national consensus that thinks about what do we really care about? What are the values that we care about? What are the impact that we want? And what are the policies that we want? This is the VIP instead of this current, politics with paksikan, very important people that we want to build. So I think it's only when we have this kind of new model of consensus building, of kind of coming together. I think, and again, civil society is good at this because civil society, they're not built as warships. They're not built to fight one another. They're built to help people. So I think they are in a good position to drive this kind of a new idea of how democracy should be done, how we should take back agency, and how democracy is an everyday thing. It means people coming together every day to do things, to make decisions about things that matter, rather than leaving it to a bunch of people whose incentive structures and interests are completely different from ours.
Okay, and because of that, it seems like we still have 2 years worth of runway to work with, and it seems like there's a lot that can be done in the next 24 months before an election is due. What do you think is some of the efforts that you guys think should be done today, particularly when we look at rakyat helping rakyat ataupun rakyat jaga rakyat? What do you think must be done in order for us to make sure that we continue to be progressive and a little bit more efficient in trying to address the kind of problems we're facing right now?
Great, thanks. So this kind of runway, here's how I would spend the time, right? So Bangsa Malaysia, Project Bangsa Malaysia, again, got three aspects. Red is values, yellow impact, blue policies, right? So yellow part is about impact, having day-to-day impact. And then again, MCO, we've seen a lot of this. NGOs coming together to make real impact on the ground, to pick up the slack and to help people. That's very important, right? We keep up the task, right? We come together, we raise money together, we send aid together. Abim does a great job with this. You know, I've been there with them on the ground. The red part is about building values, right? So it's time to come together and think, what does it mean? People have been talking about Bangsa Malaysia for a long time, but nobody's defined what it means. You know, we believe there's more that unites us than divides us. We feel that politicians spend their time, you know, dividing us, making us believe the complete opposite. But if it's true that there's more than what unites us than divides us, what is it that unites us? Apakah nilai-nilai bersama yang patutnya menjadikan asas kepada projek Bangsa Malaysia ini? Right? And then the blue part is about policies. Again, I use the casino as an example. This is obviously not a rakyat-centric policy. This is a contract doctor thing. It's obviously not a rakyat-centric policy. These are, you know, dasar berbasiskan kepentingan politik, kepentingan tauhid dan sebagainya. What if you brought the best Malaysians together, right? The smartest policy experts, and ask them to come up with what they believe true rakyat-centric policies would be like. Policies that will bring us, you know, to greater heights, to put this country back on the right road. So what we want to do is create a policy bank, so that we have all these ideas collected together. So these are the three what we call Bangsa Malaysia products, right? And these are the things that we believe can be the foundation for a truly national democratic uprising, I mean, a peaceful democratic movement to revolutionize how we do democracy in this country.
Fantastic. That was a very powerful and very insightful chat. That was Nathaniel Tan, the coordinator of Project Wawasan Rakyat. And earlier on, you heard from Muhammad Faisal Abdul Aziz, the president of Angkatan Beli Islam Malaysia, ABIM. If you've missed any part of this show, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for either ABIM, Power, that's P-O-W-R, or Notepad. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.